few years ago, I had the opportunity to go up to Yellowstone Park. And in the park itself, they've had several fires throughout the year. The biggest one was in, I don't know if you remember, in 1988. It was a huge fire, and it burned, I think, around 800,000 acres. It was about, they said 36% of the park was burned. But even since then, I think there was another one like in 98, and since then they've had some other ones. And so as you go through the park, you can kind of see some of these different areas that have burned. And it's really quite interesting. I watched a documentary one time on just that process of what happens after the forest burns. Because the forest is really, it's really made. After a certain point, you know, the trees get old and they start breaking down, and then they get diseases, and you know, and then you have all this, you know, this pine straw and everything on the ground and stuff like that. And so it really is, it creates kind of a tinderbox. And so the trees have, in a certain sense, adapted to that. So that when the area burns, it's kind of a cleansing fire, if you will. You know, not that we should go and start forest fires or anything. I'm not advocating that. But it's really beautiful the way that God has designed it, you know, so that after the fire comes through, you know, you have all these things that come up and that only come up after a fire, these different types of plants. And the trees themselves, the seeds are activated through that burning action and through that heat. And so then you start to get all these different growths. And so it's really neat to kind of see this new forest, you know, from just, you know, a few years old to, you know, almost, you know, 30 years old as it's growing up and it's alive. And so I was thinking about that this morning, just in context of Jesus, as he spoke, he says, "I have come to set the earth on fire." And how I wish it were already blazing. Fire is something that I think, I think most of us have kind of a fascination with fire. I know Uncle Jerry really had a fascination with fire. He almost burned the barn down one time. But anyway, we'll talk about that a different time. I think there's a story of Grandma coming after him with a hoe. But there's something about fire that is really captivating, you know. That's what, and we use it for a lot of different things. You know, we can use it for you know, for cooking, for heating our home. We can use it for you know, just a lot of different processes that we use. You know, when we use heat, you know, to make electricity, we use it to like I said, all kinds of different things we have from heat. The thing is, when we burn something. Or when something is burned, it consumes whatever it is, and that fuel, if you will, it becomes the fire, and it gives off heat, and it produces energy, and so that you can do all sorts of different types of things with it. Now, the thing is, you know, sometimes that fire can obviously get out of control. You know, like you have a wildfire or something like that. But as I said, even in something like that, there's that we can see that transformative process that is actuated, if you will, through the burning, through the fire. And so Jesus is using this analogy of fire to describe himself and really to describe his love that he has for us. Because, you know, sometimes we describe love as a burning fire. You know, in the Old Testament, the living flame of God, the fire of God's love. You know, what did Moses see? How was that represented to him? Well, a burning bush. You know, so this idea of fire can be, it is, like I said, Jesus is associating it then with the love of God, because he says, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." So that he wants to set the earth on fire with the Holy Spirit. What came down? The you know, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and flames of fire, you know, came in his center. And what did it do? It transformed the apostles so that they went out and set the world on fire, you know, with God's love. And so So what Jesus is connecting this fire, though, to is his baptism. And he says, there is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. What is that baptism that he's talking about? He's talking about the baptism of his blood on the cross. And so he's connecting this fire of his love, the manifestation of that fire of his love, the greatest expression of the fire of his love, is his pouring of himself out, the total consumption of himself on the cross, so that he gives everything. You know, his final words in Latin, consummatum est, it is consummated. He's given everything. And so it is through that sacrifice, it is through that baptismal rebirth, through the fire of his love, that enables that sending of the Holy Spirit, so that that flame of his love can spread to the ends of the earth and consume this world of sin. Because if we think about the world that we live in, you know, it, in a certain sense, we can see that there's this decay, and there's this rotting. It's putrid. It's fetid, you know. And it just there's a renewal that is needed, and that renewal will only come about through the fire, the transforming fire of Christ's love, because only the power of Christ's love, only that love of Jesus can burn away that sinfulness. It can only burn away that everything that the evil that is in the world, that, you know, it gets consumed, it gets transformed by the love of Christ. Now, the problem is for us as human beings is that when we undergo transformation or a transformative process, especially through fire, the fire of suffering, of baptism with Jesus in the cross, it hurts. You know, it says, you know, I have not come, you know, for peace. Do you think I wish I've come to establish peace? You know, what he's saying is, like, do you think I've come to, you know, give you this world of, you know, warm and fuzzies and everything like that? No! He says, I've come to, you know, it's going to hurt. This process of my baptism, this process of the fire of my love it's going to be a little bit painful, but it's worth it. Because the renewal that comes about through that fire and that transforming fire of this love is incredible. And that's what enables us to love God above all things, to love our brothers and sisters as God has designed us. And to recreate the world in his image, in the image of his love. And that's what all of our hearts are really desiring, is really that true and authentic love. Unfortunately, that love gets distorted through sin. And that's what he wants to burn away. Sometimes we get attached to that world, into the things of this world, into our sin. And so that process of detaching from it, of that consuming fire, of coming and burning away that all that is not of him, so that we may be purified and sanctified and made holy and be radiant and transformed into that glowing, radiant image of his love. That's what we desire. So how can we make that happen? How can we facilitate that process? Because we can resist the fire of God's love. And that's ultimately what sin does, is resistance to it. It's trying to put God's fire of God's love out in our heart. So, things that we can do is, first of all, is through that, the ascetical life of the church. You know, the saints all talk about that. You know, the really kind of that initiating path for us is the path of penance. Repent, so turning away from sin and turning towards God. But that path of turning away from sin requires us to detach from sin. And that's where that process of self-denial really comes in for us. Through the power of God's grace, then, it enables us to deny ourselves. And so when we do little forms of penance, when we do those little forms of self-denial in union with Christ, that helps to detach us. Because if we can say no to ourselves in little things, that helps us to say no to ourselves in big things. Okay. That's why the church tells us, you know, every Friday we need to do some form of penance. You know, it used to be not eating meat, but we can substitute something else for that now. You know, the so that idea of prayer and penance, you know, initiates that process. The other thing that can help us is that there are certain sufferings, there are certain things in this life that we can't change. You know, sometimes it can be health. Sometimes there's, you know, a certain, troubled relationships or things like that. You know, we can't fix it. We can't heal it. And so what do we do? And so that's where we surrender those things to Christ. And that ultimate surrender is Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I know you're in charge. Jesus, I know that you can heal this. Jesus, I know that. But then it's that offering of that experience that we have. Oh my Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, in union with the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass offered throughout the world. So we're offering our daily sacrifices. We're offering our daily works, our daily joys, our daily sufferings in union with Christ. We are, not that we don't try to make things better, but in a certain sense that there's certain things that we can't fix. We can't help that. And so we surrender that. And so just having that prayer of surrender, so we have that work of penance and that life of surrender to God. And what does that do? That transforms us. You know, as Jesus accepted his cross, as he accepted his passion for our sake, as he ultimately accepted his suffering and death, you know, he was completely helpless on the cross. But yet, in that moment of his own helplessness, in that moment of his own surrender to the Father's will, is his greatest act of love for us, because it sets us free. In handing himself over for us, for our sins, he sets us free and he gives us life and he transforms us. And so we, united in our baptism with him, are baptized by the fire of his love, are baptized into his death so that we may be transformed through that fire, so that we may be transformed through his love. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. So let us really allow our hearts to pray that our hearts are enkindled by the fire of God's love, so that we may be transformed and that fire of his love may radiate forth from us.